Hey, welcome to the show. You are listening to the Rusik Podcast. We are a roots music podcast based out of Nashville, Tennessee, where we talk to the local music scene and beyond.
Today we have Jack Studer. He is a singer-songwriter based here out of Nashville, and he is a real human being.
Check it out. Like, what got you into that?
So where did it all start?
What was your first, like, guitar tab that you looked up?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, how many AC/DC songs did you know by the age of 12?
Guitar tabs.
Guitar tabs. Hey, dude, don't be shitting on guitar tabs.
I've been actually doing guitar tabs because everyone, like, the videos I post on YouTube.
You've been making your own.
Everyone always asks for tabs, and it's been enough people asking to where I'm like, oh, I could probably like sell these and people will buy them.
Hell yeah.
But God, it's the most tedious fucking thing to go through the song and tab it all out.
Is there like a template or something?
There's like notation softwares you can use, but it's still just a huge pain in the ass, like inputting every.
You're gonna do all of this, and then 6 months from now, you're gonna be able to open up ChatGPT and open up your camera.
I know, that's
and be
my worry. Like, should I just wait for the AI to come out that'll do it all for me? I don't know.
The benefits of AI, dude.
Yeah. I always think about that because, like, even when we had like Lyle on here, we had a Lyle Brewer, who's a great guitar player, on here not that long ago, and he does a lot of he does solo guitar, but then he'll like tab out and staff out his arrangements for people. And I think, God, that's got to be so much fucking work.
He sells like books and
stuff.
Yeah,
he'll do books for his arrangement. But I think, God, like, that's got to be...
Well, that's a good idea for like merch, especially if you're a guitar player.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because he gets like legit books that are like nice looking books, and there's like art inside, but then there's also the tab and shit, and it's like, that's a good thing to sell.
It's kind of like now is the time to make anything. Cause I always think, like, you know, let's say you're a songwriter. There are so many different ways that you can monetize what you're doing. If that's the way you want to do it, you know, like, again, and there's only so many hours in the day, like, God knows I say that and I'm not doing jack shit for any of that stuff, but it's like, you know, but I got this, I got other shit. So it's like, but if, like, if you wanted to just like make your living playing music, there's so much shit you could do now, which is, it's awesome, you know, but it's just, but it's like anything, it's just work, dude. Like, I really, it's like those books, I think, God, that's gotta be so much fucking work just sitting there and putting those together, you know?
Yeah.
Make it before the robots start making it, dude.
I know.
Yeah. It's all gonna, none of this matters anyway, because in like a year and a half, it's all gonna be,
they'll just tab my shit without my consent and sell it on their own.
Straight up, dude.
God, yeah. No, but I think, I mean, this is something we've kind of like touched on before doing this, but like, I do think, who knows what like the far future will hold with that kind of thing, but the outside of like really conventional pop music, whatever's the biggest out there right now, I mean, our jobs are safe. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to be writing songs like you. Or like, or I should say, like, AI is not going to be like encroaching on your territory anytime soon.
Hopefully,
you know what I
mean?
But like, I think
there'll always be an audience for like the live in-person experience of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's going to take a long time for a robot to become that human life.
Exactly.
To like.
Yeah.
And also to like.
Hopefully.
Go, 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 go. But also, I mean, I think I say that specifically about stuff like what you make. That is more idiosyncratic and that is distinct, and you know, whatever facet of art you're dealing with, that's the stuff that I do think for the time being is safe. I mean, you know, you could get, it's not a crazy idea to have AI conjure up something that could get away as like, you know, big pop music or even like, you know, big modern country music or whatever it might be. But then there's stuff outside of that that is much more it's much more like artist dependent, you know what I mean? Like, it's so hard listening to that EP of yours earlier. It's like, it's so fucking hard to fake that.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, and I think that's true of like any cool shit that people make. When you listen to stuff that is really well made by people who clearly care about what they're doing, that's the thing that I think is going to take a while to get to. I mean, I could eat those words, who knows.
Yeah. No, I agree, and fucking hopefully, bro.
Yeah. Did, I know.
I just watched Blade Runner, so like.
Oh, there you go. That's a bad move in 2025 or whatever year we're in.
Dude, I've never seen it.
Oh, dude.
Well, that's the first one. Is
it good?
What is it? What year are they depicting?
I think it's 2024, 2025, right. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Were they pretty close or what?
Yes and no. Like, it's funny. They like the computers like physically look like. Way behind our time and shit.
But they're pretty on the nose for a lot of things.
But yeah, like technologically.
I'd say like, yeah, in terms of fiction graphing itself out into the near future, they're probably the closest out of anything I can really think of. Like they're pretty on the nose.
Yeah.
Speaking about that EP, so I know our good buddy, Chris Weisbecker. Chris, if you're listening. I know Chris produced the album that you did a few years ago.
Yeah.
Was he, because that album came, what, like 2022, something like that? Did he do the EP, the most recent EP from last year?
Well, yeah. So the first one was kind of my...
Sorry, kitty, you're getting out of here.
That was kind of what, like, I basically didn't have many friends, met Chris... Hit it off.
He's a hard guy not to hit it off with. Yeah.
And especially me and him are from like the same area. And so he's like, oh, no, come over to my house. Fucking. I'm like, I need to start making music and record. Like, let's just dive in with this guy. And so, yeah, that was fun. But I almost look back on that as like, that was like pretty much a demo record for me. Because you got Chris's tactic. You're just in his little room.
Yeah.
And he's like pre-tracking drums and shit. But yeah. The newest one, the EP, funny enough, we cut that live at my house, but I had Chris play drums and engineer at the same time.
Oh, damn.
to
full plate. Yeah.
To save a dollar or two.
Yeah.
That's tough to do. I recorded an album once where I was doing the recording and then also playing guitar on it, and you have to like
really switch
your brain back and forth from like creative to like technical and... Yeah, that's
you
hard.
Do it once, and then you're like, you learn to not do that again.
Yeah, that's probably fair. It's better if those roles stay separate, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of goal with it? As silly as that sounds, did you have any kind of goal that you were trying to strive for, or was it just let's get these songs down?
I did, for sure. Because, like, speaking of the way we did the very first one, I was like, man... I want it to be like live, and I want it to be like my homies and us just like having fun and playing music. And like ever since then, I've recorded another album, about to do one this week with the same boys. And that's always the goal, is like, let's not go to a studio. Let's make it ourselves. Let's save a buck that way. But also for the reason of like having a good time and not being stressed about time is of the essence, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, let's just chill out and play music because...
That is a huge benefit of doing it yourself, is you don't have like, oh shit, we only have one more day left in the studio, make sure we get all this shit done, and then like the pressure that comes with that, like, I don't think I personally work well in that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Me neither. And I don't know. That was kind of the vision, was just like, I want this to sound... like me, my friends in my living room playing, and that's like what it was, and we just happened to be recording.
I mean, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot, like anything, there's, you know, trade-offs. That's the way I like to do things. I've done it both ways, and that's definitely what I prefer. I also think, and besides just the sort of artistic integrity of the thing, it's kind of nice to like have that live in the moment feel. But also I think as a consumer, if you're accustomed to hearing something a certain way, like if someone's used to hearing you perform live, it's really cool to hear a really good representation that is the record. Not to say that you have to do it that way, but that is kind of a nice benefit as well, as if you're accustomed to hearing it one way and you record it that way, like you get a nice representation of what that person actually sounds like when you see them.
You know?
Whereas, and that's not always the case. Some people like to do something that's very much in contrast to that and sounds really hi-fi and that's cool too. But I like hearing what that person sounds like in a room with a guitar or with a band or whatever. You know?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, either way, it's going to like evolve, which is the cool thing about it. Mm-hmm. Seeing something live, it's going to be different every time, unless you're really like that strict.
When you record in the past, have you recorded sort of at the relative infancy of the songs, or have you gone in to record once the songs are really established in your mind and you've had time to sit with them for a long while?
Well, yeah, that first one was like we were figuring it out as we went. That's why I kind of see it as like a demo experience. But my good buddy and old bandmate who plays bass on all these, Grant, I wanted to do it differently this time around and with the EP too. And so we went out to his family land in Lebo, Kansas.
Oh.
And like middle of nowhere, like his grandparents' like house in the middle in the middle of like a cornfield.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And we like worked on that whole EP, and that was kind of the first time I ever did it that way, and like put my songs in another person's hands, so to speak. And it was amazing. It was like, oh, I should be like working with my friends all the time. Like, you can only do so much by yourself. And if you trust your buddy, like, you know, it'll be a fun and positive outcome, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
So that's how we did those. And yeah, we're about to record this week.
So is this a whole new batch of tunes you've got ready to roll?
Yeah.
Because you've been playing a lot of new stuff out.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's funny. I've been sitting on a whole another record that we did this past year that has not been released.
Nice.
And now I'm going to be
the
sitting.
The archives. We got Jack's archives going on.
Like, y'all were talking about getting a foot, like, ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
You're like, I got that unlocked.
Yeah. Just trying to stay ahead of the game. And also, like, you guys know when you write something, you want to keep it new and, like, still enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to let, like, your pearls turn to swine. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of crazy about that. Like, let's just
get it down now.
Let's just get it.
I've got the opposite problem right now. Like, I did the last record in 2020, which is insane. And then I've just put out a few, you know, handful of singles since then. And it's like, now I've just, and I, you know, obviously I've been writing that whole duration, but now I think, okay, it's time to do another fucking record. So I've got, it's kind of nice. It feels strange because it's so different. I'm used to, you know, I've done three and all of them have been in, you know, quite quick succession. So now it feels weird, like, oh shit, I've got all of this stuff. And in a way, it's kind of a blessing because you think, okay, now I can just pick the shit that I like the most.
Right.
But it does feel odd to be sitting on stuff and not have it be done. Like, you know, like, there are, again, there's some singles out there and things like that, but it's like, oh shit, I would like to do the full record, do it the way I want to do it, and just get it out there. And it's a weird feeling kind of sitting on it.
I think when you sit on something for too long, it kind of, you lose the original magic you
had with
it. Yeah,
for sure.
But then I also think it's good to like have something sit for a little to let it develop a little, but then you got to find a balance. Like,
you find that sweet spot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like anything else. It's a balancing act, you know?
That is the downside to it though, is like you sit with something for so long, like I'm going to end up,
you get sick of it. You're like, I want the next thing.
I'm going to end up like releasing this one, you know, but then I'm going to be so stoked about like the newer one.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like an endless cycle.
That's
of madness.
The thing that we don't talk about enough on the sort of business side of things. I think, again, I sound like a broken record. It's the best time in the world to be an artist and making shit and putting out there. I mean, there's just so many avenues to make that work. At the same time, though, one of the drawbacks of doing it, the, you know, to have the business model we have now, is because you're responsible for everything. Like, you know, you as an artist, you're everything. You're doing all the promotion, you're doing all the booking, you're doing all this, all of that. Once you make the thing, then it's like, okay, now I've got to switch into, we'll call it promotion mode or whatever. And then there's a whole life cycle of doing that. Meanwhile, the creative part of your brain is like, okay, let's go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So it's this weird kind of dichotomy that happens where you have to simultaneously be able to actually make it worthwhile to do that and put all that time and energy and money into making the thing by getting it out there in front of people. Whilst creatively, you're like, I'm sick of this. I want to get on to the next thing, you know? And that I think is really hard for the majority of that kind of the people with that creative mind to be able to juggle that is a really tricky thing.
Definitely. I think about it all the time. And I feel like that's like huge gray area to the masses, to the listeners.
For sure.
It's like, you guys don't know what is going into this. And it's, you know, it's a gamble, dude. But you know, it's what we love to do. So
I say that in a bitching tone, but at the end of the day, it's like, who cares? You're making music. You know?
Yeah. No, like,
don't overthink it.
I can't complain, but it is crazy. And it's on so many levels, being a musician, like, and people not understanding what the hell is actually going on when it comes to that, or even like touring is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. People see you touring on stage for those 90 minutes and I think that's the gig.
Yeah.
But you know, the other, you know, 22 and a half hours of the day.
Yeah, dude.
You've got it's the rest of your life that you've got to square away. And that is hard. I mean, it's, we talk about this with picking musicians out for tours. It's like, you want someone who's competent at playing the part, but more importantly, you want someone who, or just as importantly, you want someone who you can sit in a fucking car with for like 16 hours and not lose your mind.
Road dog,
yeah, exactly. Like it's hard, man.
Yeah. It's funny. I had a non-musician buddy at work the other day, like asking me about like gigs.
I didn't know those existed,
but he was asking like, you know, I told him about a gig I get. He's like, "Oh, how much do you get paid for something like that?" And I think
enough.
Well, it was like $600, and is what I got paid for the gig I was talking about. And he was like, "Oh shit, dude, that's like really good. Like, how long you play for? Like 2 hours?" I'm like, "Yeah, but like you got to take into account the travel days, and you got to take into account the hours you spent learning all that material. You got to take into account the rehearsals, right? Yeah. Like, there's all this shit that goes into that. When you really add it up." Hourly, like it's not that good.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Not as good as it sounds. You just see the 90 minutes that we played, but like
you'd see the 10% of like glory, so to speak. Yeah, yeah. And you don't see the 90% of like haggard shit.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
And I feel like the more you dive into anything in life, the more you see that pattern with everything.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it happens to be, if you're if you decide to really get into X, Y, or Z, you see that, it's the same thing everywhere. It's we as the observer only kind of scratch the surface, but there's so much work that goes into all of this silly crap.
Of course.
And I think it makes you enjoy life so much more because you realize the blood, sweat, and tears that people put into just about anything, you know, but yeah, I think about that with wedding gigs a lot. You know, like wedding gigs on paper sound fantastic.
But if it depends how many songs they want you to learn.
Exactly. But God damn, that's a lot of work.
But I think if you're like a wedding band, like you have
have your arsenal that you're used to playing.
There's like the initial like
investment up front.
But then like once you got the whole thing dialed in, then I feel like it's probably.
I think maybe do we start a wedding band, Brian? You and me, we can do it a cappella if you want. You know. I'll sing the high parts.
That'd be kind of fun. I've never done a wedding gig of you.
The catalog has got to be large if you're strictly a wedding
band. As long as you know YMCA,
you've got to say yes to every request.
There's people who do that full time, though, and make good money.
Like, for sure. That's
really good.
And then what some people do, too, is people will start by putting a band together and being a band leader and doing all the booking and all that stuff. And then they'll eventually, because those things grow. Because everyone's getting married, those things grow so quickly that then they'll pass off the actual helming of the band itself to other people. And they'll just run it like a business.
Right.
Like that happens a lot. And I think that's a nice, but you gotta, there's so much time up front. You got to invest into something like that, that's unless that's the plan. Like, no one accidentally stumbles into being like a wedding band.
My dream is to be, have the best wedding band in Nashville.
Oh man. There's probably somebody out there.
I'm sure.
We got to find them and get them on.
There you go. That's what we should be finding like,
just a deep dive on wedding bands.
There you go. We'll line them up out the door. We'll have them come like 10-minute intervals. You know, that's what you get.
There you go.
Give me your best pitch for why I should choose your wedding band.
I used to all my 20s, me and my like best friends were in a bluegrass band for years and years, and like started to get sucked into like wedding world for sure, because it's like this niche, like,
oh, but that's thing. Even better, because it's like niche wedding band stuff,
and it's sick because we were like a three piece, sometimes four, and
that's pretty sick.
So we'd be pocketing the money for sure, and but it was really funny, like the requests we would get, because I mean, you can technically like bluegrass, like what the hell ever song.
Yeah.
And, but it could really be hit or miss, or you just play it real time, right?
Yeah, what was the best? What were the highlights of that?
Oh, I can only imagine. That's hilarious.
I mean, I don't even know. Highlights, really. I can think of all the...
That might not be the right term. Which ones stand out?
I can think of the shadows behind the highlights.
There you go.
No, I mean, they were fun as hell learning curves, but like, I definitely learned that I didn't want to be a wedding band, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
They're not the most fun. They're fun once you're like done the gig. Then you're just like at the party. You know? But you got people, especially in the like string band realm, like obviously you're going to get your Man of Constant Sorrows and your Wagon Wheels.
That's fair. That's kind of to be expected, I guess.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that because that was a big part of your life for a while. How did you get into that whole world of music?
Yeah, it was honestly so random. I did like 1 year of college in Florida in St. Augustine at Flagler. And, I just moved straight there from where I grew up in Philly. I was like, I got to get out of town. Mm-hmm. This is my out. I'll go to college.
Perfect.
And whatever. Only did a year, but met like some of my best friends and played a bunch of music. And like literally, I definitely was not raised on country or bluegrass whatsoever. But got into bluegrass, going to festivals down there and just messing around, being a little idiot. Mm-hmm. And same with my friends, like they weren't raised on it, and we just like came together and like realized like, oh, someone has a banjo, oh, someone has like a mandolin, and like, oh, you have an upright bass, and like I can learn guitar, like bluegrass guitar. Yeah. In hindsight, that was like an idiotic challenge to take on, but we just like, yeah, like dove right in to the deep end, and we were young, man. We were like 22 when we did our first like big tour, and we kind of realized like, man, we don't want to work these kitchen jobs or whatever the hell we were doing. We're like, let's just make this work. And we like hammered down for I would say like 6 solid years of being like full-time touring musicians, scraping by. But I mean, you learn so much through that process, you know.
Yeah, and that time investment is, I mean, nothing substitutes for it. If you've got that time on the road and that time, I mean, it's also kind of, there's something to kind of like what we were talking about with the show. There's sort of something to just saying, fuck it, let's try it.
Right.
Even if you have no idea which, you know, whether it's starting a podcast or whether it's jumping into a band like that, saying, I have no idea what the skills are here to do this, but let's figure out if I can get them. I think there is something to learning on your feet like that.
Oh, definitely. In so many cases. It's even like, speaking of college, it's like, I mean, it's just a dying breed. It's like, dude, you're going to learn so much more if you just go do something than read like how to start a podcast for dummies.
Yeah, exactly.
No, 100%.
And I think that, you know, as someone who did go to college, unfortunately, I do think that, you know, there is a place for that kind of thing in the world, obviously, for specific skill sets. Like if you have a specific skill set that you are wanting to acquire and that's the path to take to do that, then great.
But for sure.
So many, especially young people, I think this is true of just people in general, but especially young people, when you don't have that direction, when you don't have that definitive, this is what I want to do. I mean, to send someone off in that direction seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that scene,
100%.
I mean, let alone all of the downside that gets incurred with that, like all of the debt that gets incurred with that, right? All of that stuff is just even like, you know, crappy icing on the crap cake.
Yeah.
But like just to point someone in that direction, say, oh, we'll go do that. Like that seems insane to me.
Yeah.
Again, and I'm sure that there are absolutely situations where that's the course to take. But I think,
yeah,
tech generally, school. Yeah, exactly.
In hindsight, yeah. I would have been like,
yeah,
let's go fucking yeah. learn carpentry, dude.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
anything.
Yeah, and but make even me stuff money. Like that. That's so pragmatic. Like most of that, there is some kind of apprenticeship path that you can take to get competent at skills like that. And there are other paths where, you know, if you want to be a lawyer, that's going to be a different path to take. But I think it's putting all of that on a person that young seems insane to me.
Oh yeah.
And I think
dude.
It's so much better to just kind of fake, because most people, it's not that, you know, most people are incompetent. Most people just don't know what they want to be competent at.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And just give someone the time to figure out, like, what do you want to do? You
yeah.
know, like what, like, and that's, I think that only comes through just trial. Like I know Brian and I just feel incredibly lucky that, like, well, we knew I want to make music, you know, yeah. and like, you don't necessarily know what the best path is going to be. We think, like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah,
you Whereas can't most go around have that, going you know? To music school.
Yeah,
right?
It's like most like, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, no, but like in theory, exactly.
It's not going to hurt
exactly.
your skills.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's. I mean, it was definitely extremely valuable, but I still think like. Just going and doing the thing.
Yeah.
You're always going to learn
right.
more.
You're going to learn more gigging with people in this town.
Than you will at music
yeah.
school.
But at the same time, and the thing that does let me sleep at night is the fact that, in principle, you're, my mind, completely correct. Like, doing that is never going to be a bad thing.
Right.
But, yeah, what, yeah. you know, if you're going to get, like, a fucking, like, you know, liberal arts degree for, and you don't know what you want to do, or if you're going to get like an English, you know, you're going to be like an English major, but you're yeah. like, I have no idea. Like that seems that, I guess that's the thing that seems silly.
But I think
that's,
a lot of people's, depending on what family you grow up in, like
yeah,
a lot of people's sure. parents are just like, you have to go
yeah,
to college
because
that's what humans do. And you graduate yeah. high school, you go to college. That
Which is
absurd. That is how life works, mm-hmm. you know? And like,
and I also think that we're at an interesting, I say this well aware that every, you know, every person who's ever lived before me has said this, but we're at an interesting moment as well, because I think that we're shifting culturally right now. We're kind of in a moment of transition where because of technology and the wonders of technology and just the way that society is currently set up, you know, I see that that's probably not going to be the case in the future. Like I would be surprised if I have kids, if that's the world that they get sent to college in, you know.
I'm gonna just do because, the opposite. Like you're yeah. not allowed to go to
exactly. college. You don't get to do that.
You're gonna go work the shittiest job on yeah. earth, and then you'll know maybe what you want to
yeah.
do.
Honestly, but, that is the best way to like figure out what you want to do
yeah.
is just work a job you really fucking hate, and yeah. then you're like, oh, I gotta figure something out.
Yeah, you're forced into it. It's like,
yeah.
I need to find something I like, yeah, actually.
Again, yeah. just to use this silly show as an example, it's like, I do think that there is something to just sort of biting down the mouthpiece and going like, no, fuck it, let's do it. Like, and it's not to say like, you know, Brian or Alexa or myself aren't unhappy with life, or are unhappy with life rather, but it's just like, well, let's just do it. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, I think that just do it mentality, like, fuck it, let's see. That goes a long way in life. It
really, yes,
you sure. may not get what you thought you were going to get, but like, I do think it just kind of, it gets more shit done than
yeah.
just being like kind of bitter about the whole enterprise, you know?
Yeah. I mean, me and my dad laugh about it all the time. I mean, he's always been very supportive, but like, I literally did the thing where mm-hmm. I went and did a year of like liberal arts, 'cause I didn't know what the fuck I wanted
yeah.
to do. I knew I wanted to do music, but I knew I wanted to like get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that year, and I was like, dude, that felt like another year of high school. Like, get me out of this. And
yeah.
I like intentionally just stopped going to class like the last semester. I was like, what is the point? I know I'm not. But, you know, my dad was clearly like a little upset, because you got that mindset as their generation of parent. But nowadays he's like, hell yeah, you saved me a bunch of money, and you're doing what you love to do, and you're like somewhat succeeding at it. So like,
yeah.
it's cool to look back on and see that the trial and error has
yeah.
paid off a
nice.
Little bit.
Yeah, it's, I guess, like anything, it's where you're at in life, and it's perspective, you know. But yeah, I think it's, I always think, God, that's gonna be a rough decision for parents at this moment in time where you are in that weird transition to be able to back one way or another, you know. But I don't know. I guess that's life. It's just never-ending conundrums, you know?
Hopefully it'll stop breeding so many miserable people.
Exactly, right? This is probably... That is the one thing that I think is so amazing about... I feel incredibly lucky for a great many things in life, but one of the things that I'm constantly just really... I feel very blessed about deciding to do music having to do music, whatever... is, subjected to doing music.
I have no other choice.
I don't have any options. One of the things that's really nice about it is, I think just being around people who are passionate about something, regardless of the level of success that they have acquired.
Yeah.
To be around people constantly that love something and strive towards being better at that thing, I mean, that just makes you such a sane person.
Yeah.
In contrast 100%. To everyone else in the world.
Yeah.
And again, and that's not like a moral statement. That's not to say that like those people are better than other people, but just, I think just for your own health and well-being and mental stability, having that around you constantly is so nice.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's something I just think about all the time, because most people don't have that. I mean, most people are directionless, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but God, it's a nice feeling to just be like, that's why I love jamming. That's why I love just going out, like when we've got jams at the house or whatever, just hanging out and playing. Cause you're like, oh, this is fucking cool. Right.
It's a reassuring thing. It's like, oh, yeah. That's why I like wanted to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And honestly, uniquely, like living here, it's a huge safety net to have that, like you're saying, the people around you, like inspiring you, and it's a big safety net in my mind of like, okay, like I'm not alone.
They're all
struggling.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something big about having people doing the same shit you are, because it can get tough when like everyone around you is like, you know, you start to feel like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But then, like, when everyone else is doing the same thing, you're like, oh, okay, I'm not completely fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And
a lot of it, too, is approach. Like, for me, I know when I was younger, there was a point in my life where I was... Oh, Brian, could you grab me one of these guys, too? Gracias, thank you.
I'll probably have another. Yeah.
There was...
I'll take one of those Grateful Dead beers.
Oh, yeah. Spicy, dude. Spicy.
Thanks, dude.
Gracias. No, like, there was a point in my life.
Try not to burp into this mic.
Oh, yeah, you're good. We've done, people have done worse, I'm sure. open this over here. There was a point in my life. Oh, I got it. Thank you. When I was a younger person, where I would get so bitter when I would, because, you know, you even if your heart's in the right place, when you want to be successful at something, and successful not meaning like, you know, you're rolling in tons of money, but just competent at something that you're passionate about. I stopped drinking years ago, and I remember clearly one of the reasons why I stopped was I would like success would occur for people that I cared about in music, and I'd be like, fuck them. And like, not yeah, really, because I love them.
That's not
no,
good.
No, exactly. And I would never say that. No, like, I would never say that. But there was like, in my mind, there was part of me that was like bitter about it. You know what I mean?
I mean, naturally so. It's like, you're envious because you want
to be there. The second that comes in, it's like, you little bitch, shut the fuck up. No, really, it's like, in my mind, like, the second that comes in the equation, it's like, dude, you can't fucking do that.
But just the fact that you realize that that's a problem is like huge, right? Because some people think that and like, they do not realize that's
they
a problem.
Sulk in it. Yeah, yeah.
And they keep that mentality.
That's like, how you become an asshole.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dude, and I've met tons of fucking people like that.
I remember that feeling of like, and it, you know, it wasn't, it was never potent enough for me to act on, but just that feeling where you get it for a glimpse. And I remember thinking, fuck you, but like, that's not who you're being, you know what I mean? Like, and I do think that on the flip side of that, now as a person, I mean, there's nothing better in the world than like when something awesome happens for like one of your buddies. Like, it's the coolest fucking thing in the world. Yeah. You're like, hell yeah.
Definitely.
And I think that so much of that, the only difference is outlook. The only difference is like what you're looking to get out of the equation, you know, and
let it like push you forward rather than
exactly. Yeah,
and like, I think I think it's the same with anything. You get to affect how certain things affect you. Like you decide how things affect you.
Yeah,
you know, like for sure. Something like, you know, one of your friends doing really well can affect you positively, or mm-hmm. it can affect you negatively. And I think it's the same for literally anything else in life.
Totally agree.
You get to choose how something affects you. And I think having that realization definitely opens up a lot of doors.
Yeah. And I think that that's probably, like, everything we're saying is probably also true of other fields and other skill sets. I think the thing that's different about music is just how... not how hard it is. That's not the right way to frame it, but just how,
it's like uniquely hard.
Yeah. Like it beats you down a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
you're putting everything out there.
Exactly. Like I'm sure if you're a real estate agent, or if you're a, you know, insert what, you know, you could, if you work in, selling, materials for, you know, plumbers or whatever it might be, like any field, I'm sure it's the same dynamic. But with music, I think because the return on investment is so low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That like it naturally weeds out the people who don't really want to be there doing that, you know? Yeah. It's,
have you ever had like any moments of wanting to quit or hang it up or?
Oh, absolutely. I would say definitely COVID, and I'm sure that's true for a lot of people, but mm-hmm. kind of had like a little crisis going on there where it was like, dude, I don't know if we'll be able to tour for however long. And like, I was barely getting by doing that. So I literally started like my own pressure washing like business where it was just me. Mm-hmm. It was like a business. But I like freaked out and like started this thing and was like, I got to just do a trade.
Brian started an OnlyFans, but that's a whole other thing.
Not yet. Coming soon.
Yeah, we'll see if the podcast.
Naked guitar tabs. Naked guitar tabs.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I got
guitar tabs on my OnlyFans.
No.
Plus a lot more. Yeah.
I think, like, I don't know. It's only natural to feel that way doing what we do. And I think it'll keep happening. Like, I still, mm-hmm. to this day, because it's a roller coaster, dude. You, like, you get a good job to be in, like, a sick band. And then all of a sudden, the carpet gets pulled from underneath you. And it's, like, back to square one. Yeah. Like, God, this sucks.
Yeah, like, and there is something to that. Like, a lot of times, the return on investment is, like, really fucking low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it can definitely be tough where I'm like, I'm putting so much time and effort into like doing something that like the result of which is going to be like, eh.
And it's really, the no job insurance.
Yeah, it's a very real thing.
It can be really difficult to not sometimes be like, what the fuck am I doing? Mm-hmm. Or like,
but I guess also the flip side of that as well is one of the benefits of being a musician is because of that, you get you are uniquely positioned to be very, very competent at working on your feet. And it sort of gives you this, like, this superpower to be able to like, okay, I can pivot when I need to, if this startup isn't working, well then we're going to pivot and we're going to go to this startup. It allows you to be malleable in a way that I think other skill sets may not lean to as much.
Right. You have to be to learn to be that way.
And it's like, I think that is something that I do feel, you know, as much as, you know, you can sort of be like, oh geez, okay, I'm a musician. It's something that I do think is really beneficial about having that mindset in life is I think, okay, well, the skills that I've learned here are pretty applicable in a great many other things. And it keeps you light on your feet. You know, like it makes you, okay, if this presents itself and this seems interesting, well, let's do this for a while. And if I got to transition
trial
else,
and error.
Exactly.
Dude.
And I think I'm sure, again, that's true of other skill sets, but music is, it's good for that. Like I imagine there are quite a few semi-successful small business owners who, you know, have some kind of background similar to that, you know, because it's like, just throw shit at the wall and if something sticks, well then stick with that,
right?
You know?
No, that is something you gotta
adaptation.
You gotta like remind yourself of that, of like, oh, it actually kind of is like a refreshing career, because I don't know, I do a lot of side work and like build decks for people, and like, I love doing that to an extent, but mm-hmm. when you start doing enough of it and you're like off the road for mm-hmm. a long time, then you're like, oh, like, this is so repetitive.
Yeah.
It's the repetition that really gets me, for sure.
Like, yeah. And it's
doing the same shit every day.
Right. And that's, like, probably why we strive to do this when we were, like, little shits, mm-hmm. you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, one thing I was curious about, too, is your songwriting. Brian and I were discussing this actually earlier today. Your songwriting is, there is a lot of great songwriting in Nashville. And we've, God knows, we've had a lot of awesome songwriters in here to talk to. But one of the things that is certainly true is a lot of it can seem similar in a way. Like, a lot of it can kind of fall under, and that's not a dig at any of those songwriters. A lot of it can kind of fall under certain umbrellas. And yeah. You say, okay, like, this is under this umbrella of this kind of music, or this is under another, et cetera. And I feel like with your music is so distinct, and I hear, like, oh, that's one of your tunes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how have you gotten to that point in your sort of creative life where you feel like, do you feel as though you've dug out a style for yourself, or are you not even conscious of it in that way? How do you feel like you've gotten there as an artist?
Yeah, that's a great question. And thanks. It's a compliment, because I don't know. I feel like I've always liked really weird music that is like, that it is its own style.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's why I ended up this way, like the stuff that I have listened to my whole life, but I don't know. I've just always advocated for being myself, because I just am like a different freak ass person. Mm. I think maybe we all are, but like, I think everyone should strive to like be that way.
Yeah.
I think naturally as human nature is like, oh, like, dude, I love Waylon Jennings. I love Merle Haggard. Like, I want to make that kind of music. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to sound like. And that's great. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. But for me, that just, it doesn't cut it for me. I'm like, I need to dig deep into, like, what I'm feeling mm-hmm. and forget about, like, all that stuff. And, yeah, I think I've just always strived to maybe just try to be myself, not so much, like, I want to be different than everyone. Yeah. It's like, I just want to focus on being original.
And that comes as a byproduct of you doing the thing the way you want to do the thing.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, I think everyone should just try to like focus on that compared to like competing with everything around you.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely one of my frustrations. I feel like there's not enough of that in the world these days, or at least in music.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I think it's a natural thing in the sense that everyone starts wanting to emulate their heroes.
Oh, for sure.
And I mean, God knows I did that. God knows Brian did
that.
Exactly. It's actually kind of almost like by definition, it's the only thing you can do at first.
Yeah.
But then I think what happens is a lot of people, you know, and that can change, right? Those inspirations and those heroes can shift over time. But then what happens is people get caught in the process of doing that.
Yeah.
Where it almost becomes cyclical, where, okay, well then we're going to pivot and now I want to sound like this other thing that I like currently.
Whereas, is trending.
Exactly. Whereas really like you're only doing that to build the skills of being able to be yourself while doing the thing.
Totally.
And it's like jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really ballsy, difficult thing for people to do. So whenever I see artists like yourself that do that, I always think, fuck, I mean, that's an impressive feat that I think doesn't go unnoticed by people who do the thing, because it's recognizing, okay, here is this stuff that I love that is always going to be constantly changing, but then to take that further step to say, okay, like, how do I want to interplay with this?
Yeah.
Like, that's hard. And a lot of people, like, even people who are very, very competent at the thing that they do, a lot of them don't want to make that leap. And it can be, it's always hard, especially for people that I think are really talented. When you see people who are kind of like, almost like hedging
like
their bets, like teetering. Yeah. Like, okay, like, do I want to? It's like, just fucking do it. Just do
it's
it.
Like, should I be myself?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, no, just fucking do it.
What if they don't like me?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do you find that easy to do? Because, like, I like, I try to go by just, like, when I write, be myself and do. But then sometimes I find, like, almost subconsciously I'm trying to sound like something else that I'm not. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is that something that comes easy to you, or is that something you have to fight a little bit?
I think at first, like, that probably was the case, but I think I've just gotten to a point where, like, okay, cool, I have, like, you know, I think it's about, like, applying the things you love and making it your own, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where people, like, get lost, maybe, is, like,
yeah,
well, no, I just like this. But it's like, no, you should, like, go further, like, make it your own, and, like, don't be scared to take that leap of faith.
It's like pushing into the unknown is always going to be terrifying.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, oh, that's probably how, like, all these people that I look up to, like, maybe felt one time, and then that's how they found their sound or style.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. Absolutely. I mean, but yeah, it just, I think it's one of those things where I always think, God knows I overthink all of this shit. I'm just fascinated by it, but
I'm a big overthinker.
Yeah, but I'm like, do other people think about this shit? Like, you know what, like, I mean?
We all are.
I've been learning. I just need to fucking turn my brain off and suppress any and all thoughts, and, like, that's how I kind of get to where I need to be.
No, that's
like
what
writing
I love
and
the most,
music,
Brian.
And shit. But it's like,
that's a good tactic, though.
I'm a huge overthinker. Yeah.
You know what I'm really excited for, though, this week? Like, really excited for? CMAs.
No, we're not going
there. You're not going there? God. No, I just want to go downtown and just, like, people watch. I want to go downtown and try and park. That's what
it's
I want to do.
It's a fucking shit show.
I want to go downtown and try and park.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what are you playing any stages CMA this year?
Hell no.
You know,
it's going to be over by the time he's trying to, like, shoehorn this, like, current event topic in,
know,
so we can clip it and put it on social media.
I don't know.
No, it's already gone, dude.
This is a CMA episode.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. Fuck yeah. You know what we should do? We should go down to the CMAs, and we should, like, be those annoying fucking people that, like, go up and ask questions. Did you see those on, like, Instagram stuff? Oh my God.
So I work at a hotel, and one of the things I do is I drive people around in, like, a little black car or whatever. And you go down there right now, there's fucking, like, influencers everywhere with selfie sticks and vlogging and all that.
It's terrifying. So.
You would not be the only one.
There you go. We should do it. I bet we can get them to do weird things. Cause, you know?
Hard pass on that.
Okay. I'm just saying. That could be big for the brand, you know?
I'm good.
Okay.
Not doing that.
There you go. Yeah, Alexa and I will go.
You and Alexa can go, and I'll sit down.
Oh, my God.
Out.
That's so fun. It's like, you know, I don't know who that is appealing to, honestly, because I see it. I mean, God knows I don't have the most intimate relationship with social media, but, like, if I'm sitting on the toilet taking a shit or something and I'm scrolling, I don't know who this is, like, being catered to. It's so bizarre.
I don't get it either, but that shit gets a lot of views, man. Yeah. Someone's out there watching it.
Well, that reminds me, like, on this topic of, like, whatever.
CMAs 2020.
No, but before that, like, I feel like there's certain people that get into this game and they're, like, straight up trying to profit, right? Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. That's where you get, like, popular country music.
Sponsored by Topo Chico.
Popular whatever music. I think it's, like, more business-minded people that are like, dude, let's capitalize.
For sure.
Song about whiskey truck. Like, will sell, and there's a science to that, and that's, like, the shit that I think maybe fuels me to, like, be even more different, is because, like, that shit pisses me off.
There we go.
Me too, dude. I feel like
it's got to drive you to, like, go the opposite direction, right?
There's something that just, like, grosses me out about, like, somebody trying so hard to, like, hit all the trends and, like...
Yeah.
But it works. It's fucking...
It works, and it pisses me off that it works.
It's also, like,
I hope that at some point society does a reversal and is like, okay, I'm sick of this shit.
But tying back into what we were saying earlier, too, I think that's the stuff that...
Excuse me.
That's the stuff that AI in the future, in the not-too-distant tomorrow future... that's the stuff that AI will be able to take over.
Doing it,
exactly. Dude. Like, no, it, I mean, it's crazy. You can.
Sorry, Zach Bryan.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I think you're a little bit full of shit, bro. You write all those?
Zach, if you ever want to come on, I love your music. No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think that's the stuff that's almost like up for grabs at the moment.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff you'll be able to just plug into an algorithm and say, you know, I want a song that does X, Y, and Z. And because it's so formulaic already, yeah. Whereas, you know, stuff like yourself or stuff like a great many other things that we love listening to, it's more distinct, it's more unique, you know, but fuck if I know. Who knows?
I think it's also like, I don't know, I just take pride in like being passionate about like the art that I make.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing shit like that go on.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And like, fuck all these people, dude. Like, because yeah. They're not doing that.
Yeah.
Right? They're just trying to fit in and make a dollar, and mm-hmm. they're doing it good.
But I think there's always going to be an audience for authenticity.
Yeah,
there has going to be an audience for that.
As long as there's human beings that aren't fully
plugged into the Matrix.
Robotic, yeah.
Which, who knows? Hopefully that...
Maybe we already are. Who knows?
Hopefully those people stick around.
Yeah. God damn, those videos are hilarious. They'll like go up to people and be like, listen to my song. And then just like you'll watch them listening to the song.
Yeah, like, dude, that's...
What?
Yeah, it's always blown my mind like what gets tons of views on...
You know what we should do?
Like the streaming thing, I don't understand. Like Twitch and shit like that. Like people just want to watch another person play a video game.
Oh, that's wild to me. That is wild.
I have a couple buddies that are into that.
I like video games, but like I don't want to watch another person.
Some sort of twisted pleasure going on.
I don't get it. That's interesting. But like these people get hundreds of thousands of views. That's like watching someone
fuck your own wife. That's
yeah.
And hey, if that's what you're into.
Yeah, that's what you're into, that's fine. I just didn't realize there were that many people into
like,
watching
them. Yeah, or like vlogs I don't get. Like, you just want to watch a person go about their day and like
yeah, or
why
this,
don't you have your own day?
Podcast?
I guess you could make the same exact argument for podcasting. So I guess I'm fucking...
I don't want to sit around and talk to my friends. I'll just listen to these guys.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's nice. Mean, my friends are cooler than everyone else's friends anyway. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. Again, everyone finds what they're into, and that's cool. But, yeah, I sympathize, Brian. I sympathize. Sort of interesting. Sort of interesting, you know? That album that you currently have...
Yeah.
Waiting in the wings. Do you have plans for it right now?
Because
you got the next one coming up that you're going to be tackling.
Yeah.
You got the one kind of in reserve. Like, what's the game plan right now?
Yeah. So the one that's done in the tank, I luckily have my good buddy, Kurt, who is a co-owner of Garhole Records, which is like a bunch of my friends, just amazing musicians. Lucky to be like in that circle of people. But he helps me do all that shit, which is amazing because mm-hmm. I've never had help releasing music until like he helped me with the EP.
That's killer. That's really
and
nice.
And it's like, thank God, dude. Like, I don't know. And like, mm-hmm. it's ever evolving, like how to do this properly and successfully. I've never known and like never will. So like having people that are into that do their research and know what they're doing is like, is badass. And to have them as a friend is like even better.
Yeah. That's best of both worlds. That's killer.
But yeah, we just had a phone meeting about it. And I mean, he was kind of cracking up cause I was like, don't hate me, dude. But I kind of been slacking, like haven't made any videos and it's not mastered yet. I just sent it out to get mastered. But I was like, hear me out. I'm making a whole new record in 2 weeks. He's just like, you're fucking
that is
nuts,
hilarious.
Dude. I'm like, sorry.
You know the thing I haven't finished? I got another one of those coming.
I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. But no, it is. It's just overwhelming, the shit you have to do. Not to complain, but it's just like, I've never known how to do it right, if there's even a right way.
Yeah.
But, like what, just all the promotional shit?
Well, not even, because I don't have to, like, really deal with that, but it's just, like, nowadays, it's like, all right, you got to have, choose your two or three singles, and then have your videos for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's obviously easy enough, but it's so much money, dude. So I've gotten to a point where my wife is good with videos. So me and her are just DIYing the video game.
It's a huge bonus marrying a videographer.
Yeah, dude. No, it's awesome. I mean, I'm always an advocate of, like, let's cut corners and freaking do it our own way and figure it out.
Love it.
So, yeah.
I also think there's, like, a degree of that, like, DIY thing that kind of, like, shines through. There's, like, a certain passion in that that's missing in...
That's why we try and make this show look kind of shitty.
It's all intentional. It's not because we don't know.
We want to cut through. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not because this is held together with duct tape and chewing
it's
gum.
It's all by design.
Hey, that's all the best shit. My buddy runs a cool radio show. He like collects 45s and like very random, unknown, like old country 45s. And runs he runs a podcast called Dollar Country. And he makes amazing merch, and my favorite like merch ever that anyone's made is he has a sticker that says "I like music that sounds like shit," and there's a lot of truth to that for me because it's like, dude, I love the DIY like gritty like there's heart in it.
About it.
Yeah, there's heart
like,
in
when
it.
When you polish something up too much, like I was gonna say earlier when you were talking about how you do all your albums live, like. A lot of my favorite artists, my favorite albums of theirs are the live albums because that's like just them and minimal like polish.
You didn't
you
overthink
just get
it.
Them.
It's what just it
them
is.
Doing the thing.
Yeah. Whereas like sometimes a studio album, there's just too much like polish going on and you kind of lose.
And you can tell. It's like,
you lose a little bit of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love like raw shit.
Yeah.
Brian loves
I do.
Raw
I do.
Shit.
I love raw shit. Like, yeah.
Take a fucking shit on this table right now.
There's something about it, like, where you make it all fancy and, like, Casey always says, like, oh, one day we'll have, like, a studio and we won't be doing this in your living room. And I'm like, I don't know if anything, we should just get another house and do it in a nicer living room. Like, there is something about, like, us just doing this in our living room.
It's kind of charming, yeah.
And it has some charm to it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whereas I feel like if we had, like, a professional studio with, like, a whole crew.
It would feel weird.
Yeah, it would be weird. Yeah, it would be weird.
Something would get lost.
And you'd be like,
yeah.
Dude, we're paying for this
time. Yeah, yeah. And we were like renting time and we had the like, yeah, there's something about.
You can't force good art.
You exactly.
That's, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Kind of let it come
keeps
naturally.
It pure.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I think you're totally, I think you hit it on the nose. I mean, there's a reason why I think all of us, with all of our varying interests and tastes, gravitate towards things like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. Because it does, you want, by definition, art is a human concoction and you want to see the humanity in there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, what's the point, you know?
The imperfections. I love imperfections. It's like, because we are.
Yeah.
No one does not have them.
Exactly.
So, like, stop faking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. It's a beautiful thing, you know?
It's a beautiful thing.
God damn.
Brings a tear to a glass eye.
Another,
that's a good phrase. I'm going to use that.
I stole that from my buddy Branson.
I like it.
Who's been, who's producing the upcoming record, or do you not want to say yet?
No, yeah, I'll say. So I guess the next two, technically. All the same crew. So my buddy Grant's childhood friend Dax, who lives in town and like went to school for sound engineering. He's a total badass, good buddy. And we test trialed him for the last one we got in the tank and absolutely killed it. So we're just, don't fix what isn't broken. Yeah. So yeah, Dax is engineering that. And I got a good buddy, Joe, that lives up in Minnesota, that's going to master it. And
that's killer.
Try to keep it in the fam is the goal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. When you go to tackle something like that, do you have sort of sonic references for like albums that you love that you want to try and bring in, or you do not approach it in that way? Is it just what it is? It is.
Are you saying like in post or just like in general?
No, just in general. Like, do you have certain albums where you're like, okay, I love the space this album takes up. Like, can we try and get something that's like cross between this thing and this thing with this other stuff in there? Or is it more just you want it to be whatever the lump sum total of that day is?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely subconsciously there's influence. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, but I don't think twice about that, honestly. It's just like it is what it is. And it's funny when you go to like send like mixes over to get mastered, mm-hmm. it's always like send over some references.
Yeah.
And it's like I always struggle with that. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I want it to sound like how
just make
we
it sound good. Make it sound like it. The way we did it. Yeah,
I don't want it to sound like that, even though like I love that. I'm like, let's just do our own thing. Because I'm DIY, bro.
Mastering is something, I swear to God, I'm going to die not understanding.
I don't know what it means.
Like, I think it's
conspiracy.
Exactly.
I think it's some sort of black magic. Like, yeah. Mastering engineers are all like practicing like they're satanic just fucking rituals in a dark room somewhere. And
yeah, they got their crystal balls. They got their fucking like headdress on doing some like weird incantation. Yeah, I don't.
Turning like tiny little knobs, like slightly.
And nobody knows what they're actually doing, but for some reason, when they send it back, it sounds better. And you're like, what? I don't know.
Maybe it's totally the same and it's placebo.
That's what it could be. It could be. It could very well be.
I don't know.
No, I fucked with that.
You can't hear that?
And you're like, oh, you can't hear that? No, I hear it. Bullshit, dude. I'm on to these bastards.
God damn. Well,
sorry, Nashville.
And on that note, oh my God, yeah, it's Jesus Christ, it is what it is. One day I'll learn, but I doubt it.
We should get a mastering engineer. Oh my God, we should have him explain himself.
Tell me what you're doing.
Hold a gun to his head.
Show
me
what are you doing? No, tell me. Show me and tell me what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah,
that would be fun. Actually, that would be fun to have a master.
I do actually want to get engineers on here because for I feel sure. like that's a whole.
That's a cool angle. Yeah, I mean, we.
That's like a whole side of music that does not get interviewed enough.
Like, that's very true. I'm down.
It's like the Wizard of Oz, dude. Exactly. Behind the curtains.
That's very true. Yeah, the mastering engineers are the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Goddamn. That would be fun.
Fucking Christ. Well, dude, I'm so fucking glad you did this. This was ball. Dude,
the song sounded awesome. Too. I'm stoked to hear the next stuff you got coming out, man. It'll be fun. The EP sounds great. I mean, the album was awesome, but the EP sounds really fucking great. So I'm excited to hear the next little adventure.
Yeah.
See what it's got.
I'm stoked to release it.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Dude, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, boys.
Word.
Ooh. Oh, doggy.
Thank God, because I'm about to piss my pants. Yeah.